On Sunday nights, we're using a book entitled Baptist Doctrine in 1 Year, along with our church's Articles of Faith, and we're teaching through these things. I don't know if it'll be a year or more or less, but we're teaching through a very varied set of subjects. We began with looking at church membership, the officers of a church, the doctrines of a church, the book of the church, the God of the church, the Jesus of the church, the Holy Spirit of the church, the fall of man, the way of salvation, the freeness of salvation, regeneration, repentance and faith. In the last couple of weeks, we were looking at the subject of sanctification. We're not looking at all of the things that are outlined in this book we're using. We're not looking at all the things that are found in our Articles of Faith. Some things we've taught on, some things we have preached, and some things we have looked at in recent days, and we're going to omit those intentionally. Tonight we come to the simple subject of what we believe about Sunday, what we believe about the Lord's Day. And we're not going to be overly involved or diving into the subject. We'll take a simple look at it tonight. But you need to know what we as a church believe about the Lord's Day. Amen. You are committed. I am committed in the covenant. I am committed. You are committed in our Articles of Faith concerning certain things about Sunday, which makes us responsible to one another, makes us responsible to be faithful, makes us responsible to practice that which we say we believe. I want to read most of this chapter, beginning with verse number 1, and then reading through to verse number 23. John 20, verse 1. First day of the week cometh Mary Magdalene early, when it was yet dark, unto the sepulchre, and seeing the stone taken away from the sepulchre. Then she runneth and cometh to Simon Peter and to the other disciple whom Jesus loved, and saith unto them, They have taken away the Lord out of the sepulchre, and we know not where they have laid him. Peter therefore went forth, and the other disciple, and came to the sepulchre. So they ran both together, the other disciple did outrun Peter, and came first to the sepulchre. And he, stooping down and looking in, saw the linen clothes lying, yet went he not in. Then cometh Simon Peter following him, and went into the sepulchre, and seeth the linen clothes lie, and the napkin that was about his head, not lying with the linen clothes, but wrapped together in a place by itself. Then went in also the other disciple, which came first to the sepulchre, and he saw and believed. For as yet they knew not the scripture, that he must rise again from the dead. Then the disciples went away again unto their home. But Mary stood without at the sepulchre weeping. And as she wept, she stooped down and looked into the sepulchre, and seeth two angels in white sitting, the one at their head, the other at the feet, where the body of Jesus had lain. And they say unto her, Woman, why weepest thou? She saith unto them, Because they have taken away my Lord, and I know not where they have laid him. And when she had thus said, she turned herself back and saw Jesus standing and knew not that it was Jesus. Jesus saith unto her, Woman, why weepest thou? Whom seekest thou? She, supposing him to be the gardener, saith unto him, Sir, if thou hast borne him hence, tell me where thou hast laid him, and I will take him away. Jesus saith unto her, Mary. She turned herself and saith unto him, Rabboni, which is to say, Master. Jesus saith unto her, Touch me not, for I am not yet ascended to my Father. But go to my brethren and say unto them, I ascend unto my Father and your Father, and to my God and your God. Mary Magdalene came and told the disciples that she had seen the Lord, that he had spoken these things unto her. Then the same day at evening, being the first day of the week, when the doors were shut where the disciples were assembled, for fear of the Jews, came Jesus and stood in the midst, and saith unto them, Peace be unto you. And when he had so said, he showed unto them his hands and his side. Then were the disciples glad when they saw the Lord. Then said Jesus to them again, Peace be unto you. As my Father hath sent me, even so send I you. And when he had thus had said this, he breathed on them and saith unto them, Receive ye the Holy Ghost. Whosoever sins ye remit, they are remitted unto them. Whosoever sins ye retained, they are retained. We believe that the first day of the week is the Lord's Day. Following the death, burial, and resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ, there is a noticeable emphasis upon Sunday. There's a noticeable emphasis on Sunday being identified as the Lord's Day. I think specifically as the day on which he arose. Sunday is a day of celebration. Sunday is a day when we celebrate the resurrection of Jesus Christ. Sunday is indeed the Lord's Day. In verse number 1, the first day of the week came Mary Magdalene. And in verse number 19, then the same day at evening, being the first day of the week, when the doors were shut, where the disciples were assembled, for fear of the Jews, came Jesus and stood in the midst, and saith unto them, Peace be unto you. Now over in the book of Acts, chapter 20, Acts the 20th chapter, begin reading verse number 7. Verse number 6 tells us he came to Troas, where he abode 7 days. Then in verse number 7 of Acts 20, upon the first day of the week, when the disciples came together to break bread, Paul preached unto them, ready to depart on the morrow, and continued his speech until midnight. And there were many lights in the upper chamber where they were gathered together. And there sat in a window a certain young man named Eutychus, being fallen into a deep sleep. And as Paul was long preaching, he sunk down with sleep, and fell down from the third loft and was taken up dead. And Paul went down and fell on him and, embracing him, said, Trouble not yourselves, for his life is in him. When he therefore was come up again and had broken bread and eaten and talked a long while, even till break of day, so he departed. And they brought the young man alive and were not a little comforted. We see here in verse number 7, again, it's just like it's a common practice, a common understanding, a common observance that the disciples were coming together. The first churches in the book of Acts, they were coming together on the Lord's Day, upon Sunday, upon the first day of the week. And in the book of Revelation, chapter 1, Revelation chapter 1, we've read this a lot over recent months, and as we read in the last book of the Bible about John's receiving the revelation of Jesus Christ while he was exiled on the Isle of Patmos, in Revelation 1, 9 and 10, I, John, who also am your brother and companion in tribulation and in the kingdom and patience of Jesus Christ, was in the isle that is called Patmos for the word of God and for the testimony of Jesus Christ. Notice what John says there in that 10th verse. I was in the Spirit on the Lord's day, and heard behind him a great voice as of a great trumpet. As he is exiled to the Isle of Patmos, he is still keeping dates. He's still keeping kind of a calendar in his mind. He's still aware of the passing of days. He is still aware of when the first day came around. And he states in this 10th verse that on the first day, on the Lord's day, he called it, he was in the Spirit, and he heard a great voice as of a trumpet. In the book of 1 Corinthians chapter 16, 1 Corinthians chapter 16, Paul, writing to the Corinthian church, addressing an offering that was being received for the needy brethren. I think it was in Jerusalem. But in chapter 16, he says in verse 1 through 3, now concerning the collection for the saints, as I have given order to the churches of Galatia, even so do ye. Upon the first day of the week, let every one of you lay by him in store, as God has prospered him, that there be no gatherings when I come. He states this is instructions that I gave to all the churches of Galatia, and all we know about that is that there were several of them on the continent of Galatia. I have instructed all of those churches, as I'm instructing you, upon the first day of the week, let every one of you lay by him in store, as God hath prospered him, that there be no gatherings when I come. It was very broad, that in all of these churches, Paul had given instruction on the Lord's Day, on the first day of the week when you come together, this is when you're to bring your offerings, and this is when they're going to be received, and when they're going to be collected, and when they're going to be passed along, according to the securing of the funds. So the first day of the week, Sunday, is obviously, by the pattern of the New Testament, the main day of worship, the main day of the gathering of God's people. We believe the first day of the week is the Lord's Day. And we believe the first day of the week is the Lord's Day and is to be kept sacred, is to be kept sacred to religious purposes. Revelation chapter 1, verse number 10, John called it the Lord's Day. Well, that in and of itself teaches us that it should be kept for religious purposes. It should be kept sacred. It's not our day. It's the Lord's day. It's not just another day. It's His day. Just like in the Old Testament under the law, God gave the people 6 days to do their work and to do their pleasure and to do whatever they might be inclined to do. But on the Sabbath day, they were to keep it holy unto the Lord. There was that seventh principle. In the New Testament, we find that seventh principle in relationship to Sunday and the Lord's Day. It's His day, and it is to be kept sacred to religious purposes. God gives us 6 days to work, 6 days to make money, 6 days to spend that money, 6 days to live as we please, 6 days to do whatever we want. But one of those days amongst the seven is the Lord's Day. It's His day. And we believe in keeping it sacred to religious purposes. We believe in abstaining from physical labor. It's the Lord's day. It's not our day. It's not the day of labor. It's the day of rest. In Exodus chapter 20, we find the Ten Commandments given to us in this chapter of Exodus. And we just want to read concerning the Sabbath day, verse 8 through 11. Remember the Sabbath day. What's he want us to remember about the Sabbath day? What did he want them to remember about the Sabbath day? He wanted them to keep it holy. Keep it holy. 6 days shalt thou labor and do all thy work. 6 days you have to do your work. 6 days you have to see to the cares of this life and to do your own thing. But the seventh day is the Sabbath of the Lord thy God. In it thou shalt not do any work, thou nor thy son nor thy daughter, thy manservant nor thy maidservant, nor thy cattle nor thy stranger that is within thy gates. For in 6 days the Lord made heaven and earth, the sea, and all that in them is, and rested the seventh day. Wherefore the Lord blessed the Sabbath day and hallowed it. We find when the Lord gave the Sabbath in the Old Testament, it was a day when they were to abstain from or they were to cease their physical labors. As we observe the Lord's Day, as we observe the first day of the week, we take from the pattern of the Word of God concerning the Sabbath, we take from that pattern and apply it to Sunday, the Lord's Day, and believe that that teaches us that it's a day of rest. It's a day that we are to keep holy unto the Lord. I don't think it's necessarily appropriate to call it a Christian Sabbath because we're not under the Sabbath. It's the Lord's Day. It's the first day of the week. But we do believe in observing some of those same restrictions that were a part of the Sabbath on the Lord's Day. It is the Lord's, not ours. We believe in also not only abstaining from physical labor, but we believe in abstaining from sinful recreation. It's the Lord's day. We cease labor. It is a day of rest. We also believe that it is a day that we abstain from sinful recreation. And the Lord's day is constantly under attack by the world. The world tries to thrust upon us everything they can concerning the Lord's day. And it's a never-ending battle for us to believe in observing the first day of the week, a never-ending battle for us to observe the Lord's day. It's a never-ending battle for us to keep it sacred, to keep it as a day of rest unto the Lord. It's a never-ending battle for us to abstain from our physical work and our physical labors. And it is a never-ending battle to abstain from the sinful recreations of the world. The world makes Sunday the day of all their fun, the day of all their activities, the day of all their sports, the day of all of their recreations. And God's people believe that it's His day. May God help us to hold to that conviction and continue to uphold to that conviction. In Isaiah chapter 58, Isaiah 58. Isaiah 58, verse 13. If thou turn away thy foot from the Sabbath, from doing thy pleasure on my holy day, and call the Sabbath a delight, the holy of the Lord, honorable, and shalt honor him, not doing thine own ways, nor finding thine own pleasure, nor speaking thine own words, then shalt thou delight thyself in the Lord. And I will cause thee to ride upon the high places of the earth and feed thee with the heritage of Jacob thy father. For the mouth of the Lord has spoken it. The mouth of the Lord has spoken. If you'll remember the Sabbath day, he said to them, if you'll keep from doing the pleasures, thy pleasures on my holy day, if you'll make the Sabbath a delight, if you'll keep it holy unto the Lord, keep it honorable, if you'll honor him, not do your own ways and your own things, he promises in verse number 14, blessing, prosperity. And again, as we consider Sunday being the Lord's day, we don't observe the Sabbath, which was the seventh day, or Saturday. We take these principles that were a part of the observance of the Sabbath, and we apply them and we think there's an application to Sunday being the Lord's day. And we abstain from physical labor and we also abstain from sinful recreations. It's the Lord's day and he has promised to bless those, I believe, who observe that day. Who cease from their labors, who cease from their pleasures. I think we have the best pattern of all. Right here, Faith Baptist Church. On the Lord's Day, the first day of the week, we come together and we have our morning services, our Sunday school and our worship services. Then we have the afternoon for rest. We come together in the evening when the Sabbath would have been coming to an end, according to the Old Testament. We come together in the evening and we worship the Lord and our day is done. That's giving the whole day unto the Lord. That's observing the whole day as the Lord's day. That's observing it as His day. That's abstaining from physical labor. That's abstaining from sinful recreations. I believe as Psalm 118, verse 24, I think it is. I wrote my reference down, but I didn't write the verse quote down. But I believe Psalm 118, verse 24 says, this is the day that the Lord has made, we will rejoice and be glad in it. We certainly believe that about Sunday. The Lord's Day, it's the day the Lord has made. We will rejoice and be glad in it. The world would have it be a drudgery. The flesh would see it as a drudgery. The flesh would see it as a time when we can make even more money if we work. The flesh would see it as even a greater opportunity to fulfill the desires of the flesh. And the world tends to impress upon us as God's people that the Lord's Day is such a burden, is such a drudgery. You're giving up so much. You're sacrificing so much. We need to rejoice in the day. Thank God for it. He's made it. It's His day. And we ought to give it unto Him, rejoice, and be glad in it. We believe the first day of the week is the Lord's Day. It is to be kept sacred to religious purposes. It is to be kept sacred to religious purposes by the devout observances of the means of grace. What are we to observe on Sunday? What are we to observe, to practice? What are our practices supposed to be on the Lord's Day? The first means of grace, the first practice, the first observance that comes to my mind is on the Lord's Day, we're not to forsake the assembling of ourselves together. We are to assemble. We are to gather. We're not to neglect the coming together of God's people. In Hebrews chapter 10, verse 25, we know it well. It's quoted often enough for us to know that we're not to forsake the assembling of ourselves together. Even so, as we see the day approaching, so much the more as we see the day approaching, we're not to forsake the complete assembling of the church. And so we're to assemble on the Lord's Day. Let's go to Psalms 26. Verse 4 through 8. I have not sat with vain persons, neither will I go in with dissemblers. I have hated the congregation of evildoers and will not sit with the wicked. I will wash mine hands in innocency. So will I compass thine altar, O Lord, that I may publish with the voice of thanksgiving and tell of all thy wondrous works. Lord, I have loved the habitation of thy house and the place where thine honor dwelleth. Amen. That ought to be our attitude. That ought to be the words that come from our heart. Lord, I love your house. I'd rather be a tent keeper in the house of the Lord than to dwell in the tents of wickedness. Lord, I love gathering together with your people. I love being where you've put your name. I enjoy the gathering together of your people in your house. I love the habitation of the house. I love the place where thine honor dwelleth. So we believe Sunday is a day when we're not to forsake the assembling of ourselves together. But we also believe that Sunday is to be a day of worship. It ought to be a day that we come together in order to worship, for the purpose of worshiping. Jesus said in John chapter 4 that God is a spirit, and those that worship him must worship him in spirit and in truth. That same passage from John chapter 4, where it speaks about worshiping God in spirit and in truth, We're told that God seeketh true worshipers to worship Him. If it can be said that God is seeking anything, if it can be said in 2023 that God is seeking, God is desiring anything, it can be said He's seeking and He's desiring worship and worshipers to gather together. He is seeking and He is desiring true worshipers to assemble together. He's seeking that, John 4 teaches us. So Sunday ought to be a day when we do not forsake the assembling of ourselves together as a church. Sunday is to be a day when we do worship. Psalm 118. Psalm 118. Verse 14 through 16. The Lord is my strength and song, and has become my salvation. The voice of rejoicing and salvation is in the tabernacles of the righteous. The right hand of the Lord doeth valiantly. The right hand of the Lord is exalted. The right hand of the Lord doeth valiantly. So he says, the voice of rejoicing and salvation is in the tabernacles of the righteous. We're to not forsake the assembling of ourselves together. God is seeking true worshipers to gather together and to worship Him, to worship His way according to His word, on His day, according to His timing. And we are to observe these things, and we believe in observing these things on the Lord's day. Third thing that we do, that we observe on the Lord's day, is the teaching of God's word. We're not to forsake our assembling. We're to be careful to always worship, put the Lord first, first day of the week. And we're to see the importance of teaching the Word of God, preaching the Word of God. He said in Ephesians 4, I will give you pastors and teachers that will teach you, will feed you, will provide you your spiritual nourishment. He gives us those teachers and those preachers for our benefit, for our purifying, for our separating, for our being set aside. In Acts chapter 11, Acts chapter 11, Acts of the 11th chapter, Barnabas is sent to go as far as Antioch from Jerusalem. Verse 25 says, then departed Barnabas to Tarsus for to seek Saul, which would become Paul. And when he, Barnabas, had found him, Paul, Saul, he brought him unto Antioch. And it came to pass that a whole year they assembled themselves with the church and taught much people. And the disciples were called Christians first at Antioch. Barnabas is sent to find Saul or Paul. He finds Paul, brings him to Antioch. And for a whole year they were gathered there with the church at Antioch. And for a whole year, they taught the Word of God. And I think Paul not only was doing some teaching himself, but Paul was also probably being taught some things, being confirmed in some things as he is early in the ministry. But for a whole year, they assembled themselves together. So we observe not forsaking ourselves together. We observe worshiping. We observe the teaching of God's word. And we also observe prayer and praise. God's house is supposed to be a place of prayer. God's house is supposed to be called a house of prayer. Sunday is a day when we meet together. We don't forsake the assembling of ourselves together. Sunday is a day when we worship the Lord in spirit and in truth. Sunday is a day when God's word is taught and God's word is preached over and over and over again. It doesn't matter how long we've been a Christian. It doesn't matter how long a church is existent. We keep on preaching. We keep on teaching. Every Lord's Day, the word of God is to have the emphasis and the importance. And we come together on the Lord's Day for prayer, to have prayer. We can't pray enough. We can't pray too much. Prayer is to be a constant part of our services on the Lord's Day when we come together. And it is to be a day of praise. You can't really worship God without praising God. You can't really worship God without being thankful, without counting your blessings, without not only praying, but praising him. And another observance that takes place on the Lord's Day is the giving of our tithes. As Paul mentioned there in 1 Corinthians chapter 16, on the first day of the week, let everyone, as they have purpose in their own heart, to lay aside that which they feel led of the Lord to give, that proportionate giving, and they were to have it ready on the Lord's Day, on the first day of the week. In Malachi chapter 3, the Lord says, prove me now herewith. Open, give your tithes and offerings, and bring your tithes and offerings into the storehouse, and see if I won't open unto you the windows of heaven and pour you out a blessing. I think that still applies today. We come together on the Lord's Day, and one of the things we do on the Lord's Day is we bring our tithes and our offerings. The first day of the week, we give that which we've set aside according to the prospering of the Lord. And the church, we believe, is the storehouse of the New Testament. The storehouse where the tithes and the offerings are brought into and collected and dispensed. And the church is where we're told to bring our tithes and our offerings. And I believe the promise of Malachi 3 is a promise that's supported both Old and New Testament, is if we'll be faithful, the giving of our tithes and our offerings, God will bless us. God will prosper us. The only way to shoot yourself in the foot is not to bless, not to give, not to yield, not to bring, to be stingy with God is a guaranteed formula for his being stingy with you. He asked us to bring that portion of our offerings to the house of the Lord, the storehouse on the Lord's Day, and he promises to open the windows of heaven. As we often put it, you can't outgive the Lord. And I don't think the requirements of God concerning our giving are overbearing. To put it simple, you don't have to use the word tithe. Tithing is proportionate giving. But to make it simple, all God asks of us is that tenth portion, that tenth part. Then he leaves it up to us. He leaves it up to our own desires if we want to give offerings over and above that. I don't think that's too taxing. For God to say, here, this is all yours, all I ask for is 10% back. I think that's pretty generous. He's giving us 90% to do with according to our own desires. And he promises that if we'll be faithful in bringing that tithe, that portion of our blessing from him, And whatever offerings are over and above that, he's promised to open up the windows of heaven and pour us out a blessing. So we believe the first day of the week is the Lord's Day. It's to be kept sacred to religious purposes, to abstain from physical labor, to abstain from sinful recreations, to keep it sacred, to keep it holy, to keep it as a day of rest unto the Lord, to see it as a day which the Lord has made, and to rejoice and to be glad in it. We believe in keeping it to sacred and religious purposes by not forsaking, not ceasing to worship, not avoiding the teaching of God's word, not avoiding the prayers and the praise of God's people as they gather together, not to avoid the gathering of the tithes and the offerings. We are to observe the Lord's Day. I can remember Brother J.R. Bourne on two different occasions made a statement to the effect that the reason Sundays are so abused, the reason that businesses are wide open, the reason that Sunday is a profitable day for the world to be open, he said it was us Christians at fault. Sunday is a profitable day for the world, a day of playing and fun and neglecting the things of God, because we as Christians don't observe the Lord's Day. He made the point that if God's people practiced what the Bible teaches about the Lord's Day, then those businesses probably couldn't be profitable, wouldn't have been opened up, and we wouldn't find ourselves in the mess we're in today. And I wonder about that sometimes. I wonder what responsibility we have as God's people for failing to have an influence. We're called to be salt. We're called to be the light of the world. We're called to make a difference. We're called to be an influence upon this world. And if we will observe the Lord's Day, he has promised to bless us. It may be too far gone. We may be to the point of no return. But if we will observe Sunday as the Lord's Day, set the right kind of example, our conscience will be clear. It will not be held responsible or accountable. As you go back over the years, I wonder how much blame God's people have for the loss of Sunday. And I think it is immeasurable. The cost upon our society, the cost upon this world, by going 7 days a week, 24 hours a day, full speed ahead, and not giving the Lord that seventh, I believe it's immeasurable, the effect of that disobedience upon the world. And I wonder how much of a blame we share in that by our, as God's people, neglecting the Sabbath day, the Lord's Day, excuse me. The Sabbath celebrated the creation and an ending, a ceasing. Sunday celebrates the resurrection and a beginning. The Sabbath celebrated the creation and an ending. Sunday, the Lord's Day, celebrates the resurrection and a beginning. Let's stand together.